You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you guys have been having a great week. I most certainly have. I have been crazy busy doing a bunch of interviews for next month's Sober February, which is coming up shortly. All of the interviews that I have conducted are absolutely amazing. Some of my guests are musicians that are sober, that have recently become sober, that have been sober for a very long time, and their experiences with that. I also have spoken to some non-alcoholic breweries up here from Montreal. But not only that, I actually conducted an interview with someone who has a PhD in nutritional science, and we go into exactly what happens when you drink and what happens when you drink too much. I am super stoked about Sober February, which is coming up. On today's episode, I'm super stoked to be with another metal brewer. But before I introduce him, I must apologize because we had a slight audio glitch during the middle of this episode, and we didn't quite hear exactly what beer we were sharing. I tried to fix it while editing the episode, but it didn't quite work out, so I'm going to do that right now. Throughout this episode, we are drinking Saint-Sublon's Série Houblonnée. It is a West Coast IPA. It was ultra crushable. It's topped with Columbus Centennial Citra and Simcoe hops, and it was fruity, slightly bitter, and just madly crushable, clocked in with a 6.4 ABV. So get ready, people. This is Vox and Hops episode number 223 with Sean-Kevin Laplante from Saint-Sublon.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I am with Sean-Kevin Laplante of Saint-Sublon. I am super, super stoked to be with you today. I have been a fan of your brewery since I just casually stumbled upon it. It's really one of those things that happened. I was getting into craft beer, and I was just walking around. I think I was in, it was the first one that I went to was in Côte des Neiges, is the first one that I stumbled across. My wife was being followed at a birthing house in Maison Naissance in the area, and I had a bit of time before we went to an appointment, and I stumbled in there. So, and I was enjoyed the brews. I liked the whole concept of it, and I was immediately hooked. And then I just realized that you guys had more of them, and I just have done a bunch of interviews at the one downtown, notably with Yuri Raymond. Very early on in the podcast, we had an excellent chat there drinking your New England IPA. I remember that very well, and it came in a pitcher. We were so happy. And let's start with an easy question, something that I like to throw at people. It's easy yet complex. How have you been coping with 2020?
Not so bad, actually. I've had a few things to keep me busy, which I think is really important for this weird 2020. But yeah, actually, like I kind of like it. I don't mind it. I stay at home, play a few video games.
That's amazing. Me too. I am an introvert as much as I have to be an extrovert when it comes to performing and being on stage and, you know, doing everything that comes with being a touring musician. But at the core of myself, I'm very, very happy just staying home. And luckily, there's a bunch of amazing brews that have been coming out this year, notably a bunch of your brews that I'd like to talk about. Something that I think is interesting, how has it been for the brewery? I know that Saint-Sublon is one of the only places that has three locations throughout Montreal. So that must have been a headache and a nightmare once the lockdown started happening. Can you talk to me a bit about that?
Yeah, actually, it went with a phase one, phase two kind of thing, where like the on and off switch, where restaurants reopened. So our production really changed. It was really more on the keg side. Kind of like toned it down a bit with the cans to get a bit more kegs for restaurants. But then it kind of bite us back for a second wave where we had to re-switch again for canning production to go a bit more towards those. So yeah, it was a bit of a headache to manage all of those changes because most of the time we learned like the news the same week as, so like, you know, beer like takes more than a week to do like all the process. Like it's just, it was a headache a bit, but still, like, we actually enjoy it. We can still, like, all work at the brewery, which is, like, great, actually, like to be able to produce like all 100% for cans. Actually, I really like producing for cans. Like it's
That's interesting. See, that's something I don't know about. What is the major difference between producing for a keg versus producing for a can?
Well, it's just like the keg, we actually like take from the tank to put it in the keg. Well, like for the can, like it's actually like we've got a canning machine that just goes in and like it's just like the final step is different. But I actually like to see cans actually when we're done. Like you see your pallet full of cans and it's actually like a bit nicer than seeing a pile of kegs, in my opinion.
How about on the creative side when you are going for cans versus for kegs? Do you guys do more experimental brews when you are kegging it because you don't need that brand?
Yeah, actually, like we like to do like funkier stuff for kegs. It's actually easier. That's one of the big advantage of being with Saint Toulon is actually like we can test our beers at the restaurants first, and then the ones that we see that we've got really nice feedbacks, we can actually like put it on like for cans. Actually, West Coast IPA is the one that like it was tested in restaurants and people really liked it. That's why like we knew that right when it was into cans, like we already had feedbacks about it, which kind of helps.
Cool. And I was very, very stoked when you opened that new one on St. Laurent Street. It's in a crazy, hectic craft beer area, though. But me being an uber craft beer dork, and before the pandemic, I like to do these pub crawls. So I have this perfect one planned when I'm allowed to do it, where I start at Zuidziel, hit Cibouw, make my way up to your guys' area, and do vice versa, Saint Sublon, Bira, and then wrap up a Harry Can. That's just a monstrous pub crawl.
That's hell of a ride, yeah.
And when you guys did open up again, right, my summer vacation started on the exact day that the tap room was open again, and I was there that very first day. At the Saint Laurent,
nice.
Saint Sublon, and I had a good time. It was really nice. And you guys had this terrace that you guys had built, and my kids were just like running on it. It was a fun day. It was hot. It was very hot, but it was very fun. Speaking of that, West Coast IPA, Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends and metal brewer friends and talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Talk to me about this beer that we're going to share today.
Actually, this beer, well, it's an idea. We've done a double dry hop to it. Actually, it has Columbus, Centennial, Citra, and Simcoe. So we really went for a really hoppy one, like, to get a bit on the fruity side a bit. Yeah, I really, really like
it. It's very cool. It's got, like, that nice little hoppy bite, that beautiful, beautiful West Coast tang. I love it. I love it. I love it. What would have been your very first beer? Do you remember your first beer, Sean Kevin?
Well, to drink was my father's old beer, like Budweiser laying around to the sun. It was like the worst. And I didn't touch it again for a while. It was like my father actually laughed at it when I like he saw me like trying and like to take that sip.
Yeah.
Because you know the day where it's like you don't want to drink that. Like it's yeah, I'm still like disgusted by it. But then I come from Joliet, so L'Interlude, now known as L'Albion, like was one of the spots where I actually like went and got my first beers. I wasn't like a big fan at first, which is like but I actually started by liking stouts. I really liked those thick beers. I didn't like the other lighter things at first. So
that's awesome.
And I really liked coffee, so it kind of like got into my jam.
Very cool. Very cool. I want to hear your whole brewer story. How exactly did you end up brewing amazing beers?
I started, I worked at Trois Brasseurs, which is, I think, one of the best schools to actually like learn the ropes for it. I started manager there for almost 2 years, and I decided to switch. One of my friends was brewing there, Graham, which is like an absolute like beast. Like he's an actually really, really good brewer. And we hang out and have some D&D nights, enjoy some like craft beers. And I was like, geez, like I'd like to start brewing. Like if only like I had like a few like classes or something. It's like, dude, like just try it with Trois Brasseurs. Like ask to be switched to become a brewer. And like, you'll see like if it works, like, you'll actually like I think you'll enjoy it. And I actually like followed what he told me and I loved it. Like, I actually really, really love my job as a brewer. It's really fun. And I switched to get more creative content at the Saint-Houblon. So I switched and now like it's actually really, really fun because at the restaurants, we have 24 rotating lines, wow, which is like you brew whatever you want. And you try whatever, like what's on your mind. And that's actually really fun to not have those like limits.
That's true. That's true. And Talabarasarga was very cool. I definitely enjoyed going there at first, but it's true that they are sort of limited with the styles that they can put out there because people, they have so many, I want to say succursales, they have so many establishments and the beers sort of have to be the same, except every establishment is allowed to have like their one special brew at the time. I don't know if they're still doing that.
Yeah.
But with the Saints, Saint-Houblon, you can do whatever you want. What would have been that first brew that you did do on your own that you were excited about and it was a success?
I'd say it was at Saint-Houblon. Well, I had a good one where I created one for the old port at Trois Brasseurs, which I did a white IPA. I really, really enjoyed it. But I'd say like at Trois Brasseurs when we started to do a... It started like a series called Houblon 1 and so forth, like 2, 3, 4, where we only like had fun with IPAs and like for whatever hops we kind of wanted and like thought it'd go well together. And like we actually had a few of those that like I really, really loved. And we're looking forward to get those into cans. And like it's actually really fun to, you know, you're just like messing around, like playing with the hops and like, oh, like I think like we should like tone it down like for that part and like go more on the dry hop, but we actually really liked it. And it's like the first Houblon was one of my favorites to start off.
Very cool. What would have been one of these, because you have no limitations at Saint-Houblon now with 24 taps in three establishments, what would have been the most out there crazy brew that you have done?
I'd say one of the craziest one was a sour stout, sour cherry stout we've done for, I think it was 2 years ago for St. Valentine's Day. We're looking forward to have it like as a small batch for this year's St. Valentine's Day. But it was actually really, really good. I really liked it, but I know it wasn't like everyone's cup of tea since like sour stouts isn't like the most popular kind of thing, but yeah.
That's crazy. Where did that inspiration come from? Where did you come up with that idea?
It was like talking and drinking and it just came out like sour, you like stouts, like let's do it together. Like
all great ideas.
Yeah, exactly, around the beer.
Something else that is very cool that sort of must be very helpful for you guys during COVID is the fact that you guys can deliver beer because you guys have a great food menu.
A lot of
with the archaic Quebec beer laws and liquor laws, it is crippling to a lot of craft beer establishments. But Saint-Houblon, since the beginning, was automatically like, we can deliver you beer, but you got to buy food to go with it.
Yeah, but I think it's a good combo. Like the food's like exquisite, I think, at the restaurants. Like it's I work for them. Like I like the food, but it's actually really, really good. And like it's fun to actually, like I even order for myself. Like, and I also deliver, like get my beer delivered. But still, like I think it's a perfect duo where you're getting like beer shipped to your door. It's, I don't think anyone can actually, how can I say it, turn around to this. Like, it's beer shipped at your door. Like, you don't even need to work to walk to the depth. You're right there.
And it's good beer, and it is good food. And the food comes because Saint-Houblon also has a farm.
Yeah, so we've got a farm in Tecnoville. So most of the things we actually cook in the restaurants comes from the restaurants. So, like, we're really trying to be autosuffisant, like, to all work, like, together. So like our beers, like mostly like we're also proning Quebec products, so most of the time the brewery is located at Terrebonne, and we've got Houblon Bastien like 5 minutes away. It's like freshest hops ever. Like I text the guy, he comes in with his van, like drops me fresh bags, and like we brew with those like the same day. Like I think it like plays a big role to it. We really want to encourage locals, so
That's interesting. How different is it when you say that he comes with a fresh bag? Because every time that I've gone to see a brewery or helped out a brew, I always end up seeing these pellets, these, and they're frozen. So when they come with fresh hops, is it just really the flowers that Bastien brings to you, or is it reduced down to the pellets as well?
The pellets.
Okay.
So yeah, it's always we work mostly with pellets. We sometimes go with the flowers, but it's more on the pellet side. Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Let's talk about hype and lactose, because having tried a bunch of your brews, I know that you guys favor the lactose. You guys like lactose. Mm-hmm. What? Talk to me about lactose and the use of lactose in Saint-Sublon beers and why there is so much.
We actually like it. It gives it like a bit of a thicker body, which is like what we wanted for especially our NIPAs. So they kind of all had it. Same with the milkshake IPA. We actually like cranked it to 11 for that one, like on the lactose side, just to have like that really, really thick body. But usually it's for this, and I have that sugar. For the NIPAs are like really fruity based. We've got Club Tropicana and Mango Suave, which are like really two good beers that have like strong fruity taste to it. But I think the lactose, yeah. I think the lactose really helps to give it like a nice balance between hoppy, sugary, and fruity.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
Sure. Where do you guys position yourselves on hype? Is it something that Saint-Sublon is interested in? All of these, you know, I don't want to name names, but we all know which breweries I'm talking about. When the lineups around the block and people are pre-ordering and it's selling out, is that something that Saint-Sublon is chasing, something that you guys wish would happen? Or do you guys just want to make brews for yourselves?
I'd say a bit of both, where we're actually, like, we worked on the boat IPAs. Like, we started canning, like, really not too long ago.
That's true.
We started in March. So, like, it's actually really fresh. It's not been even a year yet. And it was hard to, like, live up to the hype where, like, we did the brews that we already had planned. Like, back in the days, we're more on the NIPA side. And we went towards the IPA, but we really wanted to have, like, great IPAs to, you know, like, you don't want to... You want to get known by your IPAs in a certain way. I know the hype's not necessarily like all around that, but still we wanted to get some really good IPAs to get on it. So we really may put some focus on it. But then, we need to catch the hype train and like get on it. But we actually also want to do our own brews where like the sour stout isn't like the hype train we talk about, but we still want to do it. It's like, that's the liberty we've got. It's actually wanting to.
Yeah, you guys are absolutely right. You guys started canning right when the pandemic hit. That must have been, well, getting a canning machine into the brewery at that timing is a miracle, because I'm sure every brewery out there wanted to get a canning machine at that exact moment. So you guys were lucky.
Well, we actually started we rented one. We had services coming by to can, but when we actually like got the canning machine, like it's a game changer.
Yes, because I've heard that it's a great business model. Whoever invented this, I bring a canning machine into your brewery business, genius. But for the brewers, sometimes the beer could use another few days in that fermenter before going into a can. So you guys are a bit more stuck that you can't wait until the time the guy comes over, or so it's a bit of a double-edged sword, but you need to get it in the can so you could sell it. So it must have been really cool to finally have your canning machine and you can can it whenever the beer is at its best. It must have also been very stressful choosing which beers to launch with, because you guys do have a proven brand with the three establishments, and those have been open for many years, and you've been making great, great brews. But when you finally get yourself onto a shelf at a craft beer store, there's a massive amount of competition. So talk me through how you did choose those initial few brews.
We went with the most popular to start off with, the most popular beers we had at the restaurants, which is, like I mentioned earlier, it's fun because we've got, a database there where, we actually know, people's feedback. Yeah, Untappd is actually good to get some ratings, but having, even more from the restaurants, I think it really helps. And, the IPA we worked on, we didn't have much feedback on it, the IPA DDH, so it was really based on our taste. So, the stress level was a bit higher, where, are we actually, on the right path for it? We wanted, a classic IPA.
It's really cool, and it's only 5.1%. That when I saw that one initially came out, I was very surprised by that, because nobody is making IPAs hitting out at a 5.1 ABV.
I actually love it. It's my second baby.
I have my favorite brews that you guys make, and I don't understand why you guys don't get more hype about it, are your sours. You guys make some of the best sour brews in Quebec right now. And
thanks.
Let's talk about those. How do you guys approach making a sour? There's always an interesting fruit adjunct. I love it.
Yeah, actually, we went full on sour for the summer. Where I know, most retailers, I went to, some of my local retailers and, I talked to them and they're you're mostly, sours. And that's why, we kind of want to push that back a bit and, go into, a more versatile thing. But we had a really nice éventail of sours where, we could, have different fruits and have fun a bit with sours. We really loved our sour to start off with, and that's the reason why we wanted to get some of those out for the summer. We've got the sour cassis framboise, which is I really, really love it, and inspiration from it came from Dieu du Ciel.
Really?
Their saucisse d'été, which is I've always liked that one and was always in my big summer beers. I rarely buy twice the same beer. I'm more of the curious kind. But that one, I always had a four pack in the fridge just to, people coming over, they'll love it. It's a really nice and easygoing beer. And we wanted to get something similar.
So that, beautiful.
Yeah, Scarlet Red.
Unbelievable. How often do you think breweries do that, where they're directly inspired from another brewery or another brew that they've discovered, and they go and they try to make their version of it?
I think more often than not, people are probably sometimes shy to say where they got their inspiration or but I think it's important to I think it's a, there's a lot of competition in the brewery, but I think there's a lot of helping also going on. Our neighbor is Ruisseau Noir, and if we're missing something, they've got our back, and if they're missing something, we've got their back. That's the kind of chemistry I like to get.
It translates just so well into the world of music, because we are definitely inspired by other bands all the time.
Yeah.
And then we want to one up them, or we want to take that little element and make it our own. And it's the same thing as in the helping hand. My friends right here, this is a perfect example. Panzerfaust. We were on tour in Canada together. They had a horrible accident in the Rocky Mountains, crossing over into Calgary, and luckily they were all fine, but their gear, everything ruined. So the next gig that they made, we all lent them our equipment. It's exactly such a translation between the breweries and the metal, and I love it. And the more that I speak to brewers, the more that I see that there is a correlation between the metal world and the brewery world, and I love it.
And actually to see your podcast combining both of them, it's there.
And it works, which leads me to my next question. It's Vox and Hop, so I have to ask, do you ever listen to metal? Have you ever listened to metal? And if you do listen to metal, what bands do you listen to?
Yes, and a lot of bands. I listen to your podcast with Dimmu Borgir.
Oh, very
Jesus.
Cool.
I'm getting to get on a show where they're on, Jesus, I'm actually really, really happy with it. I actually got my nose broken on one of their songs, which is I actually really, really love metal music, and I've always been into it. I'd say some of the bands that I've really liked was Dimmu Borgir. I started listening to, I'd say my first bands that were Trivium, Timmy Borgir and like Hammerfall were like three of my big pillars at the start. And then like, you know, you start learning about metal music and then you just go in all those branches. Like, and I, Necrogoblin is another one I really love. There's Polkadot Cadaver also, which is
hell like, yeah.
I learned about them like seeing Corpulcani in Quebec City, and I got to know that band, and I think it was one of the best show I've seen, since like the guys knew how to perform and like the energy they drove was insane. And like Polkadot Cadaver, like hats off, like
absolutely really, really good band. Very cool.
And also like in 2020, like they remastered one of their old albums. 2020 isn't good, but I've got this. I won't complain.
How about when you guys are brewing, what is your brewer playlist? Is there some metal on that? How do the other brewers accept your metal passion?
I'd say I'm mostly the only one that listens to metal. So like on my weekend brews, I like to go to come in and like have a nice and alone brew where I put whatever I put in. If I say this weekend I put on an Opeth, which is like Sorceress, is like,
oh yeah,
such a good album. And I think it's the kind of album you need to listen from A to Z, and you can just like pinpoint a song and like actually just listen to that one. So that's what I like about brewing, where like just doing your things and like sometimes like the music kind of goes along with what you do. Like I love it. Opeth, I actually like is one of the bands I put on most of the time, since like I've got time to listen to the entire album, or like sometime on the car ride, like I won't have time to listen to the entire one. So like I'll just like put in some random songs, or else like I know like the guys like to listen to funk, and like we've got a lot of things playing on the brewery, and like sometimes they come in and they've like their Spotify playlist is like crowded with like Zelda OSTs, and like, yeah, that's like I go from like one to the other, but I like to get some ambient music because most of the time you're like really focused on something, just want something in the background, like actually to.
That's awesome. I love it. Opeth rules. Love Opeth. If you could, I'm not sure, has Saint-Sublon done any collaborative brews yet?
No, not yet. Well, we got like for the restaurants, but not yet in cans.
Russo Noir seems to be the one that would make the most sense to me, since you guys are so close. But if you could, and if you could do a collaborative brew with any brewer out there, who would be that dream collab team for you?
That's a hard one. Usually you ask for metal bands, but I'd say for another brewery, it's hard to say. Like, I've always respected Jutsiel. I think they're a pillar of our industry. Like, it's, and I think it could be like a really great honor, like as the podcast is, like to be invited here. But I think Jutsiel would be like really, really a nice. I know it's not like the most hipster thing to say. Like, it's not like the niche ones, but they're actually the ones with like a lot of expertise. And I think to learn from them, like they're actually like they've got the big guns. Like they've got the.
They crafted the way, you know. There's a few pinnacle craft beer breweries out there that have crafted the way for Quebec beer, and I have been citing the wrong person as the first person for many, many episodes. I'm going to correct that now, and I'm going to correct it again when I get him on the podcast, which I'm striving to do. Cheval Blanc was the first. I've been saying Unibrew for a long time on the podcast. I was wrong. Cheval Blanc is a pioneer. Zutziel, absolutely. Unibrew, of course. But Zutziel is amazing, and I still think they're amazing. And, you know, when La Moralité is basically a collab brew with The Alchemist.
I'm from Joliette, so it goes with it.
I love it. Now to the classic question. If you could do a collab with a band, what band would that be? And what would you call it, and what style would it be?
Since I really like Polkadot Cadaver, it's less on the ethical side, but they've got a song called Last Call in Jonestown, and I always thought that like getting like a really hard like beer, 10 and up percent, called Last Call in Jonestown
very
could
cool.
be really, really good. Or like something more on Sacrilegious Stout from Dimmu Borgir, or like
I love it.
Yeah, like
Sean, Kevin, it probably never happens to you because you're very in control and you know what's going on. One last question for you. What is your hangover cure?
I used to get some Jager bombs as a Red Bull, but getting into a drink, so you put some Jager in it and just put your entire Red Bull in it. I don't think I can do it anymore. And right now I'd say a glass of water for every beer you drink really, really helps. But we always forget. We always we all know it. The glass of water, it's really famous, but no one does it.
I try.
Yeah, I also try. My two first ones are really good, but then you forget the other ones and you're getting into shots and then you're elsewhere.
Sean, Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me, share a brew, have a chat, talking about your life, music, and brewing amazing craft beers. I truly, truly appreciated it. And I want everybody out there to please go support Saint-Sublon. They make some amazing brews, and I'm excited to see what their second year canning brews brings the Quebec craft beer market. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers, mate.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. What an excellent chat with Sean Kevin. I love hanging out with metal brewers. As you all know, I consider brewers my rock stars. I have the chance of hanging out with musicians all the time, and I hang out with a bunch of them. I tour with a bunch of amazing people, so I rarely become starstruck, but when I hang out with a brewer of a brewery that I actually buy and enjoy, I get that same feeling that I used to get when I started touring. So I love Saint-Sublon. I have for a very long time, and Sean Kevin is very, very cool, and it's super cool that he's a metalhead. I love that very much, and I love this conversation, and I'm super stoked to see what Saint-Sublon comes up with in 2021. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should most definitely subscribe to it on the podcast platform of your choice, but not only that, you should take the time to rate it and write a review, because if you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops podcast. Vox and Hops is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I will be back next week with two episodes, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hopsheads.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out and stop listening to other podcasts? Thank you.